This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity to come together with our brothers and sisters here at Islam Bradford. I was joking with the brothers earlier today, because the first tour I came, when I came to the area here in Bradford, I was, my colleagues in the UAE, the non-Muslims, who I was working with in the school, they were asking, where are you going? And then I couldn't remember the name, but I remember everybody called Bradistan. And I couldn't remember the real name. I was like, what is it called? So I told them Bradistan, you know, and they said, yeah, it's not even to us, it's known as Bradistan, mashallah. But honestly, mashallah, one of the things about the UK, and it's beautiful how the Muslims are together in one area. It's nice, you know, for the community, for the kids, for the families, and you know, to be in an environment around a bunch of Muslims, that's very good, mashallah. Tonight, inshallah, we'll be talking about the purification of the soul. And this is a topic that we need to go in detail in. A topic that we need, and that's why tomorrow, inshallah, we have in Dewsbury the one-day seminar about the same topic in detail. But tonight we're going to talk a little bit about the heart itself, talk about the soul. And this is something that's funny. Nowadays, when we see in the dunya around us, people who are focusing on the issue of their body. When you see some of the brothers here, mashallah, who are working out. Other ones who have the one pack, don't really care. But you find a lot of people now, mashallah, who are, they're working out, taking care of themselves, paying attention to what they eat, healthy this, healthy that. Because they realize if you don't nourish the body in the proper way, you don't take care of the body, what happens? It breaks down. You go through a whole bunch of problems, a whole bunch of difficulties. So they start taking care of the body. But the human being is created from what? Water and clay, after that. What is it? What are our bodies made of? Body and what else?
Soul.
And soul. So we know what to do about the body now. Well, what do we do about the soul? This is a problem now. People don't focus on the soul. And that's why so many people around the world today have all kinds of emotional distress, emotional diseases, looking for the cure, but they don't know how to find it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused on the importance of purifying the soul in the Quran. And two verses that all of us know, showing that there's only one outcome, or two outcomes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what about the nafs, and the tazkiyah of the nafs, purifying the soul, in Surah Ash-Shams. Allah told us, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ. Huh? Nobody knows this. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. That verily he has been successful, the one who purifies it. And verily the one who doesn't, he has corrupted it. So you're going to do one of two things for your soul. You're either going to purify it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do, or you're going to corrupt it if you don't purify it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to say in his dua, as dua alayhi salatu wasalam, اللهم آتي نفسي تقواها وَزَكِّيهَا أَنْتَ خَيْرُ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا أَنْتَ وَلِيُّهَا وَمَوْلَاهَا. He would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to purify his soul. Because verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has the ability to do so. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the famous hadith talked to us about the importance of the heart and the effect it has on the body. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, أَلَا وَإِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّ أَلَا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. That verily there is a clot in the body, that if it is correct, then the rest of the body is going to be correct. And if it is not, then the rest of the body is not going to be correct. They said, verily it is the heart. And this is very important, this hadith, because we hear so many times nowadays people saying what? That inside, I'm pure. Inside, I'm good. My niyyah, my intentions. I might not look like a Muslim. I might not act like a Muslim. But inside, I'm good. Do we accept this as Muslims? Because what's in the heart shows where? Shows in the actions. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if this is fixed, what's in here, then it's going to help the whole body. The whole body is going to be fixed. If there's something inside that is good, you're going to see the good in the actions, in the body itself, and what the person does. That doesn't mean that somebody who is evil doesn't have any good. Look, but we're talking about in general. If the heart is pure, the actions are going to be pure. Somebody comes to us now and says, I love Allah. I love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It doesn't look like it to me. When you look at your actions, you don't look like somebody who loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see this every day when you're put into the test of doing what Allah told you to do and doing what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told you to do and doing what a shaitan wants you to do. Who do we usually obey a lot of the times? Do we take that what our soul desires, what shaitan calls us to do, or do we implement what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? If we really love Allah in our hearts, and we really love the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's going to show in our actions. The scholars of Islam, when they talked about the heart, they went in detail and wrote books about books about books and volumes and volumes and volumes about purifying the heart. The scholars mentioned that the heart, there's three types of hearts. Three types of hearts. Who knows what they are? I want you guys to take part, because if everybody's just sitting here like this, I'm going to start doing with you guys, and then all of us are going to fall asleep. Huh?
The dead heart.
The dead heart, yeah. Sick heart. And the heart, and the healthy heart. Mumtaz. So you have the one that is sound and healthy, you have the one that is sick, and you have the one that is dead. So what is the healthy heart? And this is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about in the Quran. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day that the money and the children won't benefit you anything except for the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. The one that is pure. And the one that is attached to the Akhirah. And we see this in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I was having my lunch today, a nice steak, mashallah. And what's the restaurant called? Where you go? You're here today. Always disappear. I look for my lectures. He drives me to the lecture and then disappears, mashallah. Safari, right? I should get a percentage now because I'm advertising for them. Huh? In the window, what do they have? There's something Islamic in the window from Muslim countries. Who's paid attention to it? They have hasir. What is hasir? It's like the little sticks, the bamboo sticks that are tied together, which they use for what? For like a fence. Or you guys have it in your countries. All around the world, they have them. Obviously, it's not famous in the UK. They probably bought it from somewhere else. So the point is that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to sleep on this. So as I saw this today in the restaurant, I remember the Prophet ﷺ. So look at this. This is what he used to sleep on, alayhi salatu wasalam. As we sleep on our nice fluffy beds, nice quilts and covers. He used to sleep on this. So much so that it used to leave marks on his body, indents, from after he would wake up. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw this, he was like, our leader, our prophet, sleeping like this, and the kings of the other nations, they sleep on these big, nice beds. So he went to buy a new bed for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he say, alayhi salatu wasallam? This is the point. He said, "Ma li walid dunya." He said, "What do I want from the dunya?" Why? Because the heart is attached to where? Hereafter. Yeah, who cares about the dunya? If you take someone from Muhammad, you don't take. He's not attached to it. So the sound heart, first of all, is attached to the hereafter, and we see it in his desires to do more good. How do you want to test your heart to see if you have a sound heart or not? When it comes to doing good, how does your heart feel? Is it heavy? Is it difficult? Are you striving? Do you want more? The salat, when the adhan's called, oh man, it's already Maghrib time. Astaghfirullah. And it's like it's something heavy. Then you know you have an issue. But when you yearn for that salat, you want that salat, you're excited about that salat, then you know it's a good sign. How are you when it comes to doing the good deeds, to obeying Allah's command? How do you feel when you stay away from haram? This all, you're testing out your heart. The next heart is the one that is the dead heart. The one that has basically no life left in it. Even if it's still beating a little bit, it's more or less dead. What is this heart? The one that all the lusts and desires keep coming into, one after the other, taking over, taking control of, and wanting more and wanting more. When the good comes to it, it doesn't want it. It wants to reject the good. And you have to be careful when you look at our hearts. And then you have the heart which comes in the middle, which is the sick heart, which is probably most of us. That it has some good in it, but it has a lot of diseases in it as well. And that is why we need to focus on purifying the heart. Because of the dangers that can happen once the heart becomes hardened, once it becomes corrupted. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith the beautiful example. And if we had a whiteboard, I would show you, even though I'm not a good artist. But we'll picture it for you, inshallah. What happens to the heart when you sin, when you fall into that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He mentioned it, alayhi salatu wasalam, explaining what the ran means. What is ran? Mentioned in the Quran. In which surah? The word ran, nobody knows? Ma kanu yaksibun. In surah what? Mutafifin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said it's the black dot which is put into the heart. The heart in general, it's salim, it's normal, it's pure. But that's that one dot. And what happens then? You come with the sixth in it, the next dot. And if you go home and you do it on a piece of paper, draw a heart, and just start putting dots on it. And let it keep going. And what happens after some time with the heart? If some sins come in, what is she going to do with the sin that comes in? She's going to call her sisters and her cousins. This heart is open. It's taking all the sins. Come on. It's open heart. You can come put all kinds of sins in here. And it gets blacker and blacker and harder and harder. Until that which is ma'roof becomes munkar. That which is good becomes unacceptable, evil. Becomes something you don't want. When it comes, the good comes, you want to reject it. So you have to be careful. The more you dirty your heart, the more you're going to push out the haqq, the truth. The more it's going to become more difficult to act upon it. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned how the fitna affects the heart. And before that, I want to ask you guys something. And that is, what are the main reasons that the heart becomes unpure? The main reasons that the heart becomes unpure. There's no reasons. It just happens, huh? Perhaps we can say the two main categories, two main reasons why, is that, first of all, of the shahwat, the lust and the desires. And secondly, the shubuhat, which is the issues of doubt, which affect your aqidah, your belief as a Muslim. The issues of the shahwat and how they affect it. And this is, I think, a lot of us have issues with these. Because in general, as we're going to see inshallah tomorrow, those who attend the workshop, the heart, it leans towards things. The heart, it's inclined to do evil things. Because the nafs, as we're going to explain in detail tomorrow inshallah, you have three types of nafs, which is similar. But one of them is a nafs al-lawama. The one that is constantly any ridiculing itself because it knows it keeps falling into that which is bad. But in general, it's something in the human nature where you're going to lean to that which is haram. When you're walking down the street and you see, don't worry, your wives can't see you by the way here. They're on the bottom floor, so no need to be scared. Huh? You can even cover your, so she doesn't know your voice, you can cover up like this or something. When you're walking down the street and you see a beautiful woman, the natural inclination for a man is to do what? To look. Don't say in the masjid now, astaghfirullah, akhi. Naturally you're a man, you want to look. What should you do, that's something else. But naturally inside, you want to look. You want to look once, twice, as much as you can before you crash your car. Huh? You want to look as much as you can. It's natural. But what are you supposed to do? Now that's the difference. We're supposed to lower our gaze. We have to lower our gaze. Who commanded us to lower our gaze? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we're driving and we see that, we remember, we're talking about purifying the soul, right? Pay attention when you go and you in your surah An-Nur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us as Muslims. What did Allah say about lowering the gaze? Who knows the ayah? يغضوا من أبصاري, okay? Tell the believers, and pay it. And one of the things we talked about in the khutbah the other day, about reflecting on the Quran. We read, we memorize, but sometimes we don't reflect. So pay attention to this verse, because a lot of times we get the, how can we lower our gaze? There's four steps here in this ayah, if you pay attention. First of all, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. That, say to the believers, lower their gaze. It's a command from who? From Allah. So when you lower your gaze, you're following the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? So it's a command from Allah that you look down. What are the effects of lowering and not lowering? Let's continue in the ayah. What's the next part? وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. And they protect their private parts by not falling into the haram. How do you fall into haram, first of all? What's the first step? Looking. It doesn't just happen when you bump into somebody and then you grab her, she grabs you, you go behind the bush like a dog or something, or you smell each other, and you go behind the bush or whatever. No, it doesn't work like that, human beings. The first thing is, that's why I said that the eye is the arrow of shaitan. He gets you with it. That's the first thing. You look at her and then she smiles at you, and then one thing leads to another. Then you're chatting, you're this and that. And then that's when the musibah, the crisis happens later. So your only way to protect yourself from falling into the haram is by, first of all, step one is lowering the gaze. The third thing in the ayah. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That's more purifying for them. So you implement this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're protecting yourself. You're protecting your chastity. At the same time, you're purifying yourself by lowering the gaze. And then the end of the ayah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is well acquainted with that which you do. The muraqab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even if nobody else can see you, Allah can see you. The Muslim has to train himself. We're talking about purifying our hearts, how we can do it. We have to train ourselves. You're driving down the road with your wife and the beautiful lady comes. And you have your sunglasses on, there's a little sun out, you're looking cool. You got your shades on, you're driving, leaning back, mashallah. And she says, don't you look. She says, astaghfirullah, I wouldn't look, baby, you know. And you're looking, because she can't see. You got your glasses on. You're getting, astaghfirullah, you know, you're looking. Nobody knows, but you, Allah is khabir, He knows what I'm doing, astaghfirullah. You train yourself. SubhanAllah, I saw one old man who had been afflicted with looking at women. May Allah protect us, subhanAllah. Big white beard. Looked like one of the teachers in the haram, inshallah. Had his glasses on. And the guy, every woman that walked past him was looking at it like this, you know. At first I thought he was working for like the, you know, the Hayya, the religious police. And he's just checking things out. But me and my friend, he's a sheikh from Sudan. We looked a little more and he said, this guy has been, shaitan has taken over a miskin, you know. Because it was clear he wasn't, you know, doing the security. He was doing some other type of investigation. Poor dude, you know, he's literally like, in Mecca, next to the haram. Astaghfirullah. So alhamdulillah. He had the shades on, so you're thinking, but the head turned, it kind of gave him out, you know, he could see, and he was like this. Astaghfirullah. So he said, let's give him some nasiha. I said, what are you going to say to this guy? So he walks up, he's like, Sheikh, Sheikh, he said, I have a question. He goes like, nam, yes, you know. Now he plays the role of Sheikh. Okay. So he comes up, he said, my friend is asking, and it's a good way to give nasiha, by the way, pay attention to the story. It's very, I benefited, mashallah. He pulls me up, like I'm asking the question. I was like, what are you doing, man? I'm not asking this guy a question. I was upset seeing the guy, how I'm doing this. I didn't want to talk to the guy. He said, no, we have to give him nasiha. So he comes, he pulls me over, and he said, my friend has a question. So we're debating, is it haram? Is the sin doubled in Mecca? Is the sin doubled in Mecca? He said, nam, yes, it's doubled. So I told you, astaghfirullah. And he said, is looking at women one of the sins? He said, yes, it's a sin, yes, it's a sin. So he reminded him indirectly what you're doing at taqillah, you know. He said, Jazakallah khair, thank you very much. He's like, I told you. I was like, do anything. I'm the innocent one. But alhamdulillah, he told the guy and taught him. Remind him, subhanAllah. Allah is well acquainted with what you do. You have to remember. People nowadays, had they have a new fiqh. The new fiqh. The fiqh of shaitan, or they call it what? The Baba fiqh. Huh? Where they say the Prophet ﷺ told you that the first look is for who? The first look is for who? For yourself. And the second is from a shaitan. So what do the brothers do? They lock in. He said, Ya akhi taqi Allah. He said, this is the first look, bro. What you talking about? And he said, as long as you don't blink, right? He locks in, he keeps the eyes open, and he's like, and he's locking in on the lady. Astaghfirullah, haram, ya akhi. Taqi Allah. What are you doing to yourself? He said, the first look is a hadith. We play with the hadith of the Prophet. What's meant by this hadith? They say, another al mufaji. Then when you see it by mistake, you're going down the steps, a sister walks by, you see her, she sees you. Wasn't meant to happen. But you don't keep locked in. It's haram. Because of the effect it's going to have on your heart later. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the creator, He knows. When we're purifying the soul, He knows what we need, what's good. So lower your gaze, because what it's going to lead you to. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and pay attention to this hadith, it's a very scary hadith. He said, alayhi salatu wa salam, that the fitan will come upon the hearts like the hasir, we just talked about. The hasir, what? It says like the little bamboo sticks that are tied together. He said, udan, udan, one after the other. You see how it's tied together, very tight. He said, how the fitnas will come to the heart. So he said, any heart that takes it in, a black dot will be put into it. Any heart which rejects it will have a white dot. It will clean. And then he said, until it becomes two hearts. A black heart that doesn't know what is correct, and it doesn't reject that which is evil. And then the white heart, obviously, which is the pure heart after that. Or as the Prophet ﷺ explained it in the hadith. The point is that the effect that these sins are going to have on your heart, and knowing the sickness that will come, that you will start to reject that which is pure. And that's what we see nowadays, when you come to people who fall into haram. How many Muslims today, they fall into haram, that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they want to find a way out for it. They want to find a faswa for it, right? Who's the Arab guys here? Nobody's Arab here? You guys know the difference between the faswa and the fatwa? Sheikh Yusuf says he likes this one a lot. Because this is what he found as a Muslim. He found that we have what we call fatwa. All of you know fatwa. Who knows what fatwa means? One person knows. The difference between the two is the seen and the ta. The seen and the ta. The fatwa, all of you know what it means. But the fatwa, just so you know, that it breaks your wudu. You might not hear it, but it breaks your wudu in a lifetime, it has a bad smell. That's what they call a fatwa in Arabic. And that's what a lot of the fatwas have become. And people look for these way out. They're doing that which is haram, but he's looking for the fatwa to find it, to hold on to it. So no, I have a fatwa from Sheikh so-and-so. Right here. Looking to a way to make his haram or his misguidance halal. And this is very dangerous. If you fall into that which is haram, don't try to make a way to look at halal. You took an interest loan. Ask Allah for forgiveness. Pay it off. Ask for Allah for forgiveness. Keep making forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Try to get out of it as quick as you can. But don't look for a fatwa that's going to make it halal for you. The halal interest. Fatwas. Astaghfirullah. You're playing with the deen. We have to be careful about this. These fitnas, when they come to the heart, start to change the way we look at things. And a lot of times we don't understand why we feel the way we feel inside. SubhanAllah, we have the cure, we have everything in Islam. But we don't use the Quran, we don't use the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Dealing with the difficulties of life. People say we have stress, we have this. I know Muslim women and sisters and brothers who take medication. Is it permissible? Yeah, because they have to take it. They have emotional distress. But why is this? Because they don't go back to the original source. They don't benefit from Islam. We shouldn't have. It's possible people have it nowadays. But we shouldn't have it as Muslims. On every corner now, you find in the Western countries, how many psychiatrists in one city? People have to go because they're living a living hell. And when you find some of the superstars who are youth idolized today, the football players, the singers, the actors, how many of them have died now? Overdosed on drugs. You can't think of any recent examples? A few years back, the king of pop overdosed. Couldn't, all the money, all the success, all the fame that he had, the best ever, as they say, in his field, Michael Jackson, couldn't sleep at night. With all he had accomplished in the dunya, all the fame he had, he couldn't sleep at night without taking prescription drugs. And then he took the drugs, the volume, it wasn't enough. He needed more. The doctor felt so bad for him, gave him some more, killed the guy. SubhanAllah. Little after, the queen of pop comes with some cocaine and then drowns in her bathtub. Example after example. One of the beautiful examples that I saw was the famous actor Robin Williams. You guys know Robin Williams? Even you old guys know Robin Williams. He's been around for a long time, this guy, been acting. He's good at what he does, honestly. Don't talk about halal, haram. He is good at what, as an actor, he's excellent, no doubt. He's one of the best. He had an issue with alcohol, an alcoholic, who had to get special treatment for his alcohol abuse. In the interview, he was asked, why are you an alcoholic? You know, somebody who's successful, somebody who's famous, you would think you'd have a better life than this. Why did you take this route? He said, because I felt that I was living in a living hell. It's his words. I was like, wow. He said, I'm living in a living hell. I remembered what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. You know the verses. Verily the doers of good are in that which is blessed. Na'im, something blessed. And verily the doers of good or evil are in a Jahim, hell. And it's not just in the hereafter like some of us think. It's in this life, and it's in the grave, and it's in the hereafter. And that's why we find these people are living in a living hell. People wonder, why do they drink so much? Because they want a way out. They're looking for a way out. They drink so much coffee in the morning to get them going, and then drink so much booze at night and alcohol so they can pass out. Because they don't want to have to deal with the difficulties of the life. This is the reality. They want to find a way out to forget of the problems they're living in. They're living in a living hell. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear to us in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. Whoever turns away from my remembrance, he's going to live a difficult life. And this is the reality of the people who turn away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ones with the dead hearts. And even the ones, the hearts are in the middle. They're going through this. One day like this, one day like a roller coaster. And we know the way to find assurance in the heart, to find peace of heart. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily through the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find assurance. It's all there in the Quran. We have everything. We know when we read the Quran, when we hear the Quran, how it makes us feel inside. We relax. We relax, but still we want to turn away. We want to listen to a little soft music, brother, you know. Puts us in the relax, helps us relax. Helps us focus more, listen to a little music. But is it really helping us? We know it's not. Deep down we know it's not. So we have all of the solutions in Islam, but unfortunately we turn away from the solutions that we have. This, inshallah, is a quick reminder about the importance of purifying the heart. And some of the things that are coming between us and the different types of hearts. The scholars of Islam mentioned several things which have a big effect on our hearts. They call them the four poisons. And it's something that we don't think about. We'll end, inshallah, this lecture with these four poisons. Who knows what they are? Very good. The first one is the tongue, which is excessive talking. And we'll explain each one what they mean in a minute. And the second, as the brother mentioned, the eyes. excessive looking at that which is haram, obviously. Excessive eating and excessive mixing or the company you keep. Now what's meant by these four? The tongue, it's something as Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, described it as a thuban. When he told us to beware about the tongue. So don't let it bite you. فَإِنَّهُ ثُوبَانُ It's a snake that will bite you. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he talked to Mu'adh about the tongue, so the biggest thing that's going to throw the people on their faces in the hellfire is what? The tongue. He advised Mu'adh. He said, he mentioned a whole bunch in the hadith, a whole bunch of rewards that you can get for this and this. He said, you want something that's better than all of that? Mu'adh said, of course. He pulled out the tongue and he said, control this. Control your tongue. The most important thing. Because the tongue can be a very beneficial tool. Constantly remembering Allah, doing good things, or constantly being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us about one word that we could say, we think it's no big deal, that can throw us how deep into the hellfire. One word, we didn't think about it. The tongue. Learning to control the tongue is very, very difficult. Nowadays, when it comes to issues of halal and haram, if we were to be honest with ourselves and sit down and discuss what we do from halal and haram, we will find that a lot of us, when it comes to issues of haram, eating riba, alhamdulillah, brothers here, don't have it here, alhamdulillah. Dhabiha meat, mashallah, alhamdulillah. We're eating all things that are halal. You know, halal means of income, all halal, halal, mashallah. When it comes to the tongue, the ghiba, the namima, these are major sins. Prophet mentioned about the things that will be tortured in your grave. The ghiba. It's no big deal for a lot of us nowadays. We talk about our brothers, talk about the faults of others, etc. No big deal. The tongue, once again. So the scholars say you have to be very, very careful about the tongue. You have to train the tongue. And only use it in that which is good. And if you go to the fourth point, which is the mixing. The company you keep. What happens when you hang out too much? It's okay to hang out. I'm saying you can't hang out as a Muslim and chill out. We're just talking to some brothers about this now. Even one of the other mashaykh, inshallah, who might be visiting us tomorrow, inshallah. He came to us and he said, we're going to have fun. When we were on tour in Canada recently, I don't know if some of you saw some of the pictures or not, it was me, Abu Osama, Al-Dhahabi, and Naveed Aziz. We went to Niagara Falls, and we did a whole bunch of things, went sightseeing. We had fun together, we went out, there's no problem. So coming together, this is good. It's encouraging when the brothers come out, do things. But when we're always hanging out, always doing things, what's going to happen usually, you're going to start to slip. You're going to start losing good things to say, and start saying bad things. Saying things which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fall into riba, fall into mima. We have to be careful. So when you mix too much, the Prophet ﷺ, when the Sahabi asked him, what is the way to success? He told him to control your tongue. And to stay in your house and to cry upon your mistake. Then focus on your worship, focus on yourself, focus on purifying yourself. These two things are from the poisons that we need to focus on. And the looking. And we talked about that in somewhat of detail, so we're not going to go back any more than that. But how the nazar, looking at that which is haram, how it affects us. The last thing they mentioned, which I think a lot of us need to focus on, is the issue of excessive eating and how it affects the heart. We don't think about that. A lot of the diseases that we have today is from what? What is it from? Overeating. And what does the Sunnah teach us? Islam is beautiful, but we don't benefit from Islam. What does Islam teach us about eating and the manners of eating? Huh? One third, that's one thing. Before that, the Prophet ﷺ said, if it's lukimat, something small, which is sufficient, just so you need just something little. Nowadays they say, the trainers and the doctors say, the three meals we taught you as a young person, you're supposed to have three whole meals, that's really bad for you, that's what's killing you. Now it should be five meals. Correct or not? Five small meals, small portions. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, he said, look at something small, just sufficient, it's enough for you to get by, to hold up your backbone. Small meals. How did he used to eat, alayhi salatu wasalam? How many fingers? Like the brothers today who eat the rice with the whole, make like a big baseball, softball, and throw it in their mouth. I don't know how it fits. You look at the mouth and the portion, like how did that fit in the brother's mouth? It's crazy, you don't understand, but it gets in there somehow. It pushes it down. Huh? Three small fingers, small portions. That's healthy eating right there. And then one third for the food, one third for the water, and one third for there. Now, how much do we put? We put 97, 98, 99% for the food, and a little bit for the Pepsi. It'll push you down a little bit. That's it. No air whatsoever. It's always coming out. There's no room. Your stomach's in pain. How does this affect your ibadah? How does this affect your ibadah? I want you to focus on the month of eating. The month of overeating. The month we should be losing weight in, and we end up gaining weight. The month of Ramadan. The month we're scared of starvation. And we just keep shoving the food down, shoving it down. And by health-wise, by the way, the fasting is very good for the stomach. It gives the stomach a break, but no, we kill it. As soon as the adhan is called, we push it down. Hot, cold, spicy, sweet, all together. Push it down. What happens to us, and pay attention to this, we talk about the effect of eating. What happens to us when it comes time to pray Taraweeh? It's like they put some drugs in you or something like that. You're about to go to operation. You can't even move. And you're like, oh man, I ate too much. Every day, same thing. But you have to go to the Taraweeh. It's Eid. You're a Muslim, you have to go to Taraweeh, you have to pray. So you come to Taraweeh and you're like, oh. And you're heavy. And you get in the Salat and the guy's praying like, well, when is he going to stop, you know? I just come to the Ameen. I mean, that's all. It's good. Whatever is the Quran. He said, I want to go quick. He said, Ameen, I want the end. During the prayer, you're smelling the sambusa and all this and the curries. We're smelling all what the brothers had for iftar. And you're going through hell. You want the ajr that your iman is, it's pulling you back and forth. So you have to go. You want to get the ajr of praying the entire night. But you're going through hell because you ate too much. So when the scholars talk about eating too much, that's why I want to give this example. Like, what is he talking about, eating too much? How does it affect your iman? You remember Ramadan, how it affects. Eat something light, something nutritious, something good for you, enough to suffice yourself and to hold yourself up. And then you go and pray. That's why the Prophet ﷺ taught us when he would pray in Ramadan, what was his sunnah? How did he break his fast? Just dates. The fresh dates, didn't find them regular dates. If not, just drink some water. Bismillah, go and pray. Eat later, whatever. It's more healthy. It's been proven it's more healthy. At the same time, it helps you with your worship. When you overeat, it has a negative effect on your heart and on your ibadah. These are things we don't think about, subhanAllah. But it does have a very negative effect on us. This, inshallah, I want to remind myself. Like, we talk about this subject, it's an in-depth subject. And that's why, alhamdulillah, I started focusing on the seminar of the purification of the soul. I was able to teach it, you know, several times in Dubai and in Ireland and several cities, alhamdulillah. And it's a very beneficial series. Hopefully, inshallah, you'll be able to join us with it tomorrow, inshallah, in Dewsbury. It'll be from 10 to 6, inshallah ta'ala. And we'll cover in detail, in more detail, about how to purify the heart, inshallah, according to the Quran and the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah knows best. Allahu a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala Nabi Muhammad.